ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Becoming the Anomaly podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Needtoo. Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to hop on in, hear another great, not just an episode, but a great interview with a great guy. I call him a great friend and just have the privilege to bring him on today. So before I do that, just want to let you guys know how much I appreciate all the feedback that I've gotten from people that listen, whether it's for the first time or whether you guys have been here for the entire journey. All of you guys, I always like to start my podcast, you already know this, but by saying thank you, the fact that you give me even a minute of your personal time to tune in, to hear perspectives that are different than yours, to hear information that you guys can use in your own personal lives, it really means the world that I could do something starting back last year that was just on my heart and seeing it manifest every week where people are taking away lessons, people are taking away things that are they're able to apply to their personal life. So I just want to say thank you guys for tuning in. But with all that being said, I want to start this conversation here by introducing you guys to my great friend, someone that I've had the privilege to know for quite a bit of time now, and actually roommates, believe it or not. But his name is Casey. Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad I could be on.
Glad to have you on, man. Yeah. So me and Casey, we're going to touch on a pretty cool conversation here, but a really cool topic that I think you guys will find interesting because a lot of us go through seasons of our lives, whether they're positive or negative, that ultimately lead to our destiny. Whatever we're called to accomplish in this life, we have to go through adversity or excellent times in our lives that help us get to that point. And so I think Casey's a perfect personification of what that process looks like, especially at this time in his life. He is going through massive change of positive influence, everything in his life. He is touching, he is gravitating towards people that are gravitating to him. It's just all producing positive outcomes. And I wanted to give him a platform here to share his kind of his journey from where he's come from and where, more importantly, where he's going and the lessons that he's taking along the ride that can really be beneficial to you guys. So if you have your phone, if you have a notebook around you, I feel like you guys will be able to pull out a lot of good stuff if you like to take notes. But with all that being said, I just want to start right here with Casey. Just kind of give us a background of who you are for people who don't know you. Kind of how would you describe yourself to them?
So I'm 27 years old. I own my own business. I've owned it for about a year and a half. I am in the video industry. Okay. So I own my own video production company. Like I said, I started about a year and a half ago, but this is something I've been wanting to do for 10 years. Actually a little over 10 years. I remember the very first time I made a video, I was 9 years old. I was with my brother and some friends. We just decided, you know what? We want to be creative. So we got a camera and we wrote some skits and we made some videos. And I remember when I was 9, that's also when I started to draw pictures. So I'm a very artistic person, and it's kind of funny. So here's the crazy thing about that. I was in third grade. My best friend, he brought in his older brother's sketchbook. Wow. And said that those photo, like those pictures that his brother drew were actually his. So I was like, wow, this guy is so good. But really he was lying. And so I was like, you know what? I want to get that good. So I started getting sketchbooks and I started drawing better than his older brother. Wow. And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I just became...
It was just a natural talent.
Yeah. And I tapped into what I think right now I'm tapping into.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, here's what's kind of funny about this. And this has nothing to do with like what we're going to continue to talk about. This is just a little nugget and you guys can write this down. Is the very most honest thing you can do is to tap into the passion that you had when you were a kid.
Wow.
God calls us to have faith as a child. And every time I make a film, I am tapping into the exact same attitude, mindset, and spiritual grounding as I did when I was a 9-year-old drawing in my sketchbook.
That's so, I love that, dude.
Dude, and okay. Wow. Fast forward until now, I am, I'm doing literally what I was doing in that sketchbook was taking what was in my mind, and in my heart and putting it in a visual space.
Wow.
Literally exactly what I was doing then, I'm doing now with video. And it wasn't until high school that I realized that I wanted to pursue video. It was actually exactly 10 years ago this summer. So it's kind of funny you're interviewing me right now, because it's literally exactly a decade ago that I decided. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
It was right at the end of my junior year. I was like, okay, I'm going to pursue this thing.
So real quick, before you keep on going, okay, what led to that ultimate mind thought process and that entire direction of, like, at that age, this is what I'm going to be doing? What led to that? How did you get there?
It's kind of funny that you asked me that, because literally, like, so I dated this girl in high school for like a year and a half.
So all the great stories start with
exactly
this longer.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're listening to this, thank you. That's really all I have to say. Because what happened was, we broke up, and for years I knew I wanted to, serve God in some capacity, but it was just like, there were things I needed to sacrifice. And when she broke up with me, I was heartbroken, you know, just like anybody would be. And there was a lot of things that happened in my family that led me to seek God in a level that I had never sought before. And I remember I walked into my parents' bedroom and my mom was crying on the floor and my dad was pacing back and forth. And I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And they said basically that we were losing everything. My dad got laid off and my parents basically just ceased trusting in the provision of God. And for that moment, I realized, okay, my heart is broken. My parents no longer believe in God. And at that time, I had isolated from my friends. And so I didn't really have very many people to fall on. And so in that place, I found my passion for communicating the word of God.
Wow.
It was in that place that I realized that it is my calling to communicate the truth of the scripture to people. Wow. I didn't know what medium it was going to be through. I didn't know for sure if it was going to be video or whatever. In fact, I applied for photography classes for a long time because my brother was in video and I didn't want to compete with him. But I was like, but I never got into the photo classes for some reason. But I joined Video Tech and I excelled at it. And then the next year I went to broadcasting with that passion. And I remember literally it was that passion and that brokenness and that like loneliness that drove me into the presence of God and formed this desire to communicate the gospel through video.
Wow. So you talk about your whole process of right at the beginning, you talked about chasing that inner thing that's in our heart as a child.
Yes.
Where God put this in our heart as a child to pursue that. So you knew growing up, even before you hit double digits in age, I'm creative. I'm really talented at this. I don't know why. I can't explain it. This is just what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And over time, before you left high school, you started to take what you knew in your heart, combining it with your trust in God. Even in those circumstances, you start putting it together. And because of that, your light started to shine bright. You didn't know how it was going to get done.
Yeah.
But you started to understand. That's probably the time in your life where you started to see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to become conceptualized in your mind.
Yeah.
And that is just, first of all, that not a lot of people can say that even when they're in their 30s, their 40s, they have no vision.
Yeah.
And if for many of you guys listening to this, you probably have listened to a couple, even in the previous podcast, the two things that have come up most, whether we hit that topic or not, they come up naturally is faith and vision.
Yeah.
How they usually, when they combine, you start moving mountains. And the fact that you were able to do that at that young of an age is quite impressive, to say the least. So you talk about 10 years. So after that transition from that high school moment where you kind of start understanding your vision, you don't know how it's going to happen. What kind of, you kind of touched on broadcasting. What happened after that season, the next couple of years after that moment? What did that kind of look like as you start to develop into the person you are today?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I actually, when I joined Video Tech, that was the prerequisite into getting into broadcasting.
Okay. How old are you at this time?
I was 17.
17, okay.
Yeah, so I was 17 years old when I joined broadcasting. It was back in 2008, my second semester of my junior year of high school. And in order to get into broadcasting, you have to take a full year of Video Tech in order to get into it. But I really applied myself and I appealed to the class, or to the teacher rather. And he was like, I think you're good enough to get into broadcasting.
Wow.
And so I got into broadcasting, and I remember every day I would get to school 2 hours before two hours before school opened, and just went to the broadcasting room and practiced and practiced and practiced.
Wow.
On editing, everything that has to do even with like Final Cut and motion and all of that. And I really educated myself on my own in the creative process from that year. And, through that whole year, you know, I went on to get Broadcaster of the Year award that year, and I discovered a passion for visual storytelling in a way that connected me with people through the heart of God. And it was almost like I was able to tap into the vision that God gave me and use the medium of video to communicate that to people.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so I went through a year of broadcasting, and then I did a little bit of live production after that. And then I moved into, the news industry. I worked at Channel 7 for a little while.
Yeah.
I owned my own video production company, wedding film company for about 2 years.
Okay.
And it's interesting because every time I pursued video after broadcasting, I tried to meet people's expectations. And
Can you touch on that a little bit?
Can
you spend time on what that looked like for you?
Yeah. Here's what I did. Okay. Before I touch, I think in order to like preface that, let me just go back to, being a child.
Okay.
When I was, drawing in my sketchbooks, I didn't care what anybody thought. It was literally like, this is me and the page, and I focus on the detail, I focus on the lines, I focus on whatever was in my mind, I was putting that on paper. And I wasn't applying that same principle of genuineness to what I was doing. What it boils down to is genuineness.
That's right.
And being real. And every time I approached video, it was at other people's terms and at their expectations, which everyone should be able to, learn how to work for someone and support their vision. That's not at all what I'm trying to, come against. But what I am coming against is the idea that in order to be successful, you have to, push out your...
you sell out your entire... your soul.
Yeah. So
your soul.
Exactly.
Because you have to consume that identity.
Yeah.
In order to succeed in that one thing, you have to become known as that one thing.
Yeah. So here's what's crazy. I wanted to do video that entire, I wanted to pursue film. Even when I wasn't, I was like, this is what I want to do. I had a passion for it in high school, but I couldn't tap back into that passion for some reason. So I tried it in a bunch of different parts of the industry. And after doing wedding films, I was burnt out and I was like, I don't really want to do this. This isn't for me. I was like, this is not something I want to pursue. And that was back in 2015. And I remember I waited about a year, and anybody who would ask me, hey, Casey, are you going to like do any more video? Mm-hmm. I would have said no. I'd be like, no, it's not for me. It's something of the past. I need to pursue something else.
Wow.
And
how old are you at this time?
I was, I think I was 24.
So a span of 7 years, you go from going into the classroom 2 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
Almost every day, if not every day.
Yeah.
Giving your soul to it, getting better every day you step into that room, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And in the span of 7 years, you go from that to, hey, why aren't you doing this? I don't, that's not for me.
Yeah.
What happened? How does, at the end of the day, how does that get to that point?
Honestly,
is it just that one factor? Just listening to the voices of other people?
I think really what it boils down to is me not understanding my own heart and not understanding God's heart for me.
That's right.
And here's the thing. I got a 2.0 in high school. I got fired from 7 jobs. I failed my first year of college. Wow. I had to go back and retake a class and then, go on to finish. And I finished it. But I had a lot of setbacks. Mm-hmm. And including video. So I'll kind of it all kind of meshed together as a bunch of failures.
Wow.
In my past. And so I was like, you know what? That's just with all of my failures in the past. I need to just clean slate and move forward. And here's what's crazy, bro. I remember, okay, so I worked at Einstein's Oilery for 5 years. Okay, anybody listening, they're a great business. I loved working for them. So if you don't know what Einstein's Oilery is, it's a lube shop. You know, you change oil, work on cars, whatever. I remember when I was 13 years old, I was leaving a Jiffy Lube and I was like, I never want to work in the auto industry. And the one job that I could actually keep was Einstein's Oilery. It was that one. Jeez. And it was in that time that my dream for video had completely died.
No way.
Yeah. So the very thing that I wanted to do at a heart level, I completely let it die.
It died.
For the thing that I told myself I would never want to do. So I exchanged my dream for literally like
your prison,
basically.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I became a very good salesman there. I was one of the best customer service reps, and I moved up into management and I did a really good job. And I learned to prosper where I was put. And, That's like a whole nother subject.
You're opening a lot of doors. You're opening a lot of doors. I want to kind of jump into it, but before we do that, We jump from 17 to 24. You're 27 now. Can you explain, give context to the people listening, the last 3 years of your life?
Yeah.
And then there's a couple points because, Kate, you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You do run your own business. And at the end of the day, a lot of the concepts in this podcast series, whether it's through interviews or myself personally, I've touched on, and a lot of other people have touched on concepts that I think you're really living out and exemplifying in your life and in your business. And I think it'd be really beneficial for you to talk on it. But before we do, the last 3 years of your life, kind of leading up to the point of today, what does that look like? Give context to it.
And so
it could be as honest or as... whatever you want out there, bro.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to be real honest with you guys. So, listen. I mean, if you haven't been listening this whole time, right now would be the time to listen.
Now's the time. And just as a preface, this entire podcast is based on authenticity, embracing your setbacks, embracing your differences, embracing what makes you set apart to impact the lives of others.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're doing. So anyway, I'll let you continue.
Yeah. I mean, because some of the people that could be listening, this even could have affected you. I moved up into management at Einstein's Oilery, and what I let me actually back up just for a second. So I was going to this church my entire life. I went there for about 20 years since I was a little kid. I had been in ministry for about 9 years. I was in kids ministry for 9 years. I served on the worship ministry. I was in the youth.
So you're touching base everywhere.
Everywhere. And my priority was the kingdom of God. Right now, my priority is the kingdom of God. And what had happened was I started working on Sundays as an assistant manager. And that completely went against everything that I believed and everything that I had exercised my whole life. And so what had happened is it ostracized me from the kingdom of God because I wasn't in any ministry at that time. I literally, for the first time in almost an entire decade, I had stopped doing ministry. So in that place, I was very objectified on my own. I was very, I felt very alone. I felt very introspective. And for the first time, I was evaluating myself at the most honest level possible. And, I think I was about 25 when I started to question what direction I wanted to go in the very core of who I was.
You came to the crossroads.
I came from the crossroads. I literally was considering leaving my faith. And there was a lot of questions that I had for myself and things that I needed to seek out. And, what I started doing was, Let me just kind of fast forward to 2016 real quick.
Okay.
So September 2016, the church I was at, we fasted for 3 days, all of us.
Fasted for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. So we had this...
That's Ebo. Okay. Ebo's coming home. But anyway, cool. So it's September 2016.
So September 2016, we did this fast, and we were asked to read Revelations 1 through 15. And the pastor was like, don't get hung up on anything, whatever. And it's funny because I read through, you know, Revelations 1 through 15, and I got hung up on Revelation 6, where it talks about the fifth seal.
Hmm.
And on the third day of my fast, I heard so clearly from the Lord, I heard him say, I want you to live radically again, like you did back in high school. Because when I very first encountered God, I was like praying over people. I was like really prophetic in worship, and you know, I played guitar, and I was into music and all of that, and I was very creative in spirituality. And I felt him say, like, I want you to tap into that again. And Revelation 6, if you don't know, I mean, you could look it up. The fifth seal, it talks about the cry of the martyrs, and it said that they were martyred for the word of God and their testimony. And I was like, for the first time since I was 17 years old, I felt like I didn't have the same commitment to the gospel that every Christian should.
Incredible.
And that is literally to death. Like,
wow.
I need to be as committed to the gospel as they are. I need to be committed to the gospel to the point where, like, I'm willing to die for it. And it's not, here's what hit me about a year after that, is it's not about physical death as much as it is daily dying to my mm-hmm. flesh. And what I am living out isn't just a, you know, like I say the right things, whatever, but it's literally like I'm having to die to my own fleshly desires yep. every day, you know? And so when I hit that point, I was like, okay, God, like, I don't know what to do with this. and he said, and okay. And at this point I had saved up a bunch of money to, put a down payment on a house, and I was ready to buy a house in 2017. That was my goal. And he said, he's like, I want you to invest that money into video gear. And this was after literally like a year, year and a half of me saying, I'm never going to go back.
Dang.
I have failed over and over and over and over. I am not going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was after 3 days of like fasting and getting to this place of complete solitude with God that I heard that.
How much faith did that take?
Bro,
you were completely...
It took desperation.
Taking everything you just worked for.
Yeah.
But Casey's way.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
In one moment, you got reminded of your true love.
Yeah.
Your true purpose on this
yeah.
earth. And flipped to back in the adolescent days where you're saying, this
bro.
Is exactly what was on my heart. How much faith does that take? Because we've talked to every podcast, it always comes back to faith.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the number one thing. It
yeah.
has to be. So you talk about that process. There's a lot of people out here
yeah.
that don't take faith in what they believe in.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, is it took me to get to a place of a lot of, I was in a spiritual desert, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I was wandering. And I was at the point of desperation, great need. Like, I needed to, like, get out.
Man.
I needed to escape. I needed, like,
yeah.
I felt this desire to just run. And so I was actually at a breaking point where it was like, I need an answer from God because I feel so trapped right now.
Man.
And so I would say, like, it took a lot of faith for me to trust, like, okay, this is what you want me to do
mm-hmm.
with these finances. But it's interesting. Once I said yes, every step that I took from there, it was pure, genuine passion.
That's so good.
It like lit a fire in
That's
me, dude.
It.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
The name of the game of life is when you figure out that,
yeah,
that moment.
Yeah.
Where everything I'm doing, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how it's happening, but man, I was made for this.
Yeah.
And you just said that.
Yeah.
You're living it. And
thank
in that
you.
Moment, you're starting to figure that out.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
And I think moving into the conclusion of this, I hope you don't mind. I want to talk a little bit just about, the importance of relationship.
Let's go.
Not just relationship, just in general. I mean, relationship with God and then relationship with people in a way that is, purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
Because once I realized, September of 2016, what God put on my heart,
yep,
I spent so much time like researching and getting up to date on all the latest camera gear, whatever, everything, and kind of putting that, into
a bucket,
basically just like what I'm going to do to move forward. But the next step literally was like, who are the people that I'm going to like it started out with the what, but the most important question that I feel like I needed to ask was who. And so literally like God put this like radar on me where I was like, okay, who am I going to connect to like further this passion? Because if it wasn't for the people that I'm even now, if it wasn't for the people that I've connected to,
yep,
and trusted God with, like, I would not be where I am. There's no way. Like, He's connected me to all the right people.
Wow.
So, and I don't know if you want me to go into detail on that, but
I love it because it's
yeah,
that vital.
Yeah.
It's that vital. So, kind of the biggest lessons that you've taken away from people, because this podcast 16, I talked to my friend Colton, many people listen to that, but in that podcast, we talked about how the people you're around are going to influence your mindset.
Yeah.
And so for you, what's kind of the biggest lesson you've learned from your experiences about the people you surround yourself with?
The biggest lesson that I've learned, I would probably say, man, that's a really good question.
It's so important.
Yeah, it's very important.
Because a lot of us, every podcast, it seems it kind of,
yeah,
moves, but I really like to make a point and emphasis in it.
Yeah.
Because it's good to constantly be thinking about,
yeah,
who's in my sphere, who's someone that I think is admirable or,
yeah,
a role model. How do I get in their circle?
Totally.
Information like that.
So here's kind of the metamorphosis of that concept for me. When I very first started seeking out those relationships, mm-hmm, I was finding people of like-mindedness with me. I was finding people that I can connect with on a creative level because,
yeah,
I felt alone in it.
Yeah.
And I found a lot of people like that. Now I'm at a place where I'm realizing I need people that think the opposite of me. I need people that think different, because for me to grow as a person, I need to be uncomfortable.
Out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And so when I was very first, starting my creative process, I feel like my concept of what my vocation and my business was going to be was very lopsided. And if it wasn't for me being able to accept, mm-hmm, the relationships that made me feel uncomfortable,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to grow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane to think about.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So now we're up to current day.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to current day. What does Casey's life look like in the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years? Kind of what's that vision that you had at 17 with the whole video production? Now you're slowly becoming one of Idaho's most iconic videographers, one of the most talented people walking the streets of Boise. Now that your life is...
I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, it's the truth, man. I'm pretty sure Evo over here would agree with that. It's the truth. And so as you start progressing into your next stages of life, what does that vision now at 27 look like,
yeah,
compared to when you were establishing that at 17?
Man, okay. It's crazy you ask me that, because I mean, for years I've said what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 2015, when I graduated college, we did a capstone speech. And I remember I said, in 5 years, this was back in 2015.
Okay.
I said, in 5 years, I'm going to own a video production company and travel the world with my wife and kids. Like my vision.
No
way. Like, yeah. I was like, I want to be married and have kids. And like, I mean, my poor wife, she's going to have to like travel with me, but whatever.
I'm pretty sure she would sacrifice.
Whoever it is, she would love it. But anyways, so that was kind of like, that was the thing that I spoke just in faith. I didn't know it was going to happen.
So I love that.
But, I mean, I'm single now. Anyone listening, like, you know, whatever. Anyways, okay, whatever.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, for sure. So,
we'll throw on social media handles later at the end of the episode.
Okay. So, for real, though, in about 5 years from now, I definitely see this being something that doesn't just touch Idaho, but touches the Northwest.
That's right.
In 10 years, you know, it could be national, international. I don't know. And I think what I want it to be, and these are just ideas I'm throwing around. This isn't completely solid, but let's say you listen to this podcast in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and you're like, wow, comparing like what he said to like what's actually happening.
Yes.
I remember I got interview from Doug Armstrong. He was the general manager of Channel 7. That was when
sounds familiar.
Yeah. He asked me, he was like, Casey, what is your one goal before you die? And I was like, in my mind, I was like, I don't know. But I said, I was like, I want to invent a new form of mass media. I don't know what that looks like.
That is audacious.
You know,
love it.
Yeah.
Audacious.
I mean, technology is transforming a lot. And, you hear about Generation Z and how like the next generation is like, they haven't been exposed to anything, but you know, having internet and like, they don't know what it's like without internet, whatever. So it's like, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I would say, I definitely would have my own studio, and I want to be able to rent out gear. I want to rent out my space to other filmmakers around the Northwest, to be able to aid in their storytelling, not just mine. I want to be able to have a university actually where I can teach and train, not just on like the technicalities and, all the science behind film, but then also be a motivational speaker for people who, who want to pursue their passion, but they just don't have the courage to take the risk.
Yeah.
And, because honestly, like I've taken a huge risk.
Everything.
And right now,
everything.
Totally. Right now, I'm in this transition where I have had to completely like just be so honest with myself and everyone around me and all of my baggage and just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And through that honesty and through that trusting in God, I have seen this complete flip in my
180.
Life. 100%. And I'm going from like straight like poverty into a place of abundance and of provision. And like I said earlier, if it wasn't for me being able to put myself around people that made me feel uncomfortable and accept what they have to say, and even though they disagree with like me at like the core of my being, that's good.
That's right.
Like I need to learn from that, you know,
and embracing that.
And if it wasn't for me actually embracing that and like growing from it and humbling myself and putting in the work and the hustle and like,
it doesn't come. Just waiting in your family room.
I haven't really been sleeping that much, but like I see myself even just at the end of this summer being strides past where I was before.
That's right, man. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
If you guys are listening to this and you can't hear the passion in his voice, man, I don't know what you're listening to, but that is the passion that I want whenever I look at my life's endeavors. But before we start wrapping this up and start, I have a couple more things, but I just want to point out the number one thing, this whole faith in Jesus thing. And I want you to touch on your faith here in a second, just kind of why is that so important to you? But before I do, I just want to make a point. You know that you're living your life prosperous and you're living your life worth living when you go from, I completely want to give up this dream that I've had because it's not in the picture of everyone else. and you go from that point of your life to all of a sudden you want to create, you want to use your talents to create this atmosphere where people are living, they have the ability to access their calling through what you've gone through.
Yeah.
And for any of you listening, this whole concept of faith in Jesus, and the reason we keep bringing it up in these podcasts is not to promote that. I totally embrace whatever you believe in. I think you should really embrace that in yourself, but it keeps dialing back to this one thing that I've made that realization. Casey's made this realization. A lot of people have. When you live your life your way, it's chasing things that will never come to fruition because it's always things that are involved in other people's pictures. And when you start giving your life to God, like the way Casey's talking about that trust in him, he's went from losing everything he loved to gaining this vision for himself and actually following through and having the faith to live it out, to all of a sudden his life is going to impact the lives of thousands of people around him simply because he's trusting God with everything he has. And because of that, your life can be the same way. When you give your life to God and that's a conversation you have in your heart, your life will become a pedestal for other people to access their calling through. And that's something that I just wanted to point that out because you're doing that.
Yeah.
Whether you realize it or not, I did. I caught that. You're doing that.
Yeah.
The fact that you made that change in your heart is now going to be the sole reason why people all over, not just the Northwest, not just the United States, but one day the globe, because you're that talented, you're that gifted in what you do, people will embrace everything that they were created to accomplish.
Wow.
Because of the things that you've struggled through.
Yeah.
So dang. I just wanted to touch on that. But real quick, there's a couple areas I want to touch before we start wrapping this up. But why your faith? I just talked about it a little bit, but why yeah. have you been so faith-filled to this guy we call Jesus? What is it about this? And it's hard in a short amount of time, but kind of in your voice, what led you to that?
For sure. Well, I think in order to really paint an accurate picture, I need to not just tell you about the generalization of, you know, just this last year, but tell you details, because God is in the details and he cares about the details. And for me to have faith in him, I need to realize that he cares about the details of my life.
That's right.
And, what happened last year was I left my job in May, so literally a year ago. I left my job completely. In fact,
weird how that works.
Last year I was in Iceland, and what had happened was I went from having a very stable 9-to-5 job that paid the bills, and I left that, and I had so much uncertainty.
Yep.
I had no idea what was going to happen. And what had happened was, you know, I went from, you know, working, you know, 40 hours a week to not even knowing how I was going to, you know, pay my bills. And I ended up, you know, just going from paycheck to paycheck and getting farther and farther in debt. And there's a lot of things that I could go into about that. A lot of embarrassing things, to be honest. You know, just stupid stuff that I did with my money, big growing pains. But, so what had happened was I got in a car accident and I didn't have enough money to pay my car off or, you know, get it fixed. And then later on in the year, I, you know, moved in with my parents and they didn't have, moved in with my parents cause I wasn't able to get my own place cause I just started my own business and, they didn't have closet space. So I was literally living out of trash bags. Like all of my clothes were in trash bags.
Unbelievable.
I folded them. So, you know, so they wouldn't wrinkle.
Exactly.
But,
take care of it.
Yeah. But I was at a place where I was pursuing my passion, but I didn't have very much principle. And I know that I was in the hand of God because he provided everything I needed. You know, my parents were there to help out and I had all the right support system and everything. But it took me realizing that I can't just allow or I can't just let my talent and my passion that God put in me to, you know, bring people to me to like give me money to like be able to live. I had to be proactive and and put the muscle into it and freaking like and hustle. Because that's what faith does. Faith doesn't sit idle. Faith works. And you know, there's always just a debate about like the faith and works thing. But I really do think that if you really have faith in God, it will produce works. It wasn't until I got my heart completely broken and that I was in a place of desperation and darkness and loneliness and anger and frustration that I realized that like my faith in God was inactive, and the inactive faith is dead faith. And he was like, you know what, Casey, like I speak life into you, like you're gonna be successful. Just because you weren't able to fix your car last year and you're doing the same thing you were doing last year, like I'm gonna bless you, but it's gonna take you to be really freaking real with yourself. And it wasn't until I came to that realization that I was like, you know what, I literally like I went to the store, bought a whiteboard, wrote down all of my debt, wrote down you know, financial goals for the next year. I wrote down goals for the next 6 months, goals for the next month. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this freaking bull by the horns. That's right. And I'm going to engage my faith in prayer. I'm going to engage my faith intentionally with relationships and just be open and honest with myself and the people around me. Just be like, hey, I have failed.
Amen.
I have failed. And all the areas that I failed in were things that people saw. And, you know, they were loving, but they weren't going to like shove that in my face.
Of course.
So when I admitted about it, it was like, yeah, Casey, you do suck. I mean, I mean, it didn't really suck, but like there, it was just like, it's like
a humbling experience.
Yeah. It was a very humbling experience. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to grow.
That's
and
right.
I kid you not, Jacob, literally within that first week, it was night and day difference.
Incredible.
I mean, I got some of the best support. I got like free business coaching. I got offered, 24/7 access to an office for free, website and business cards, free. I got, and I had, you know, there's a guy that I work with that he very generous guy. And he, I mean, if you're listening, thank you. I don't know if I want to, I'm not going to say his name, but you know who you are. He wrote a check for me to like pay off most of my debt. And he's like, don't even worry about it. And I was like, I do not deserve this. And it was in that place of realizing that like, that God loves me no matter what, that I have this fear of God that I've never had before, and reconciling relationships and making things right and paying off debt and, you know, catching up. And now it's crazy, bro, because like not only am I catching up really fast, but I'm freaking gonna get ahead really fast. Like it's insane.
If that's not the American story,
dude.
If that's not, if that doesn't capture what the entire essence of America is about, it's going from like just the ashes to becoming something better than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I just became super just like tenacious about it. And now I'm working with people that have connected me with amazing clients. And I'm moving forward in a pace that I never thought that I would move forward with, in just a year of business.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a couple more points. We'll close it up. Your business.
Yeah.
Kind of tell us a little bit about the business you're in now, kind of what you're doing. And I want to hear, there's going to be a lot of people that listen to this that maybe have a business idea in their heart. Maybe it's something they've dealt with for a lot of years, or maybe it's just a brand new idea. The biggest lesson you've learned about running your own business, being an entrepreneur. So kind of the twofold, what your business is and the biggest lesson you've learned as an entrepreneur thus far.
Yeah. So my business, it's called Fifth Seal Creative. It's a video production company based here out of Boise, Idaho. Right now I'm actually putting my brand development and business development on hold and just, really putting my shoulder to the plow and
so you're building the foundation.
I'm building.
Wow. See, that's why you're Okay, some of the greatest entrepreneurs I personally watch and take notes from. One of my favorites, his name is Danny Morrell. He talks about the concept of fire, aim, shoot. So what you're doing is, so in that concept, you're shooting the gun before you even aim. You're going. And then once you shoot it, then you start adapting. Okay, this is what I could do differently. This is what I could do better.
Yeah.
Then you start formulating into a more narrowed approach.
Yeah.
That's the same thing it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah.
You just went straight for the business.
Yep.
Get your foot in there.
Yeah.
Just do it.
So, yeah. I mean, the first thing I'm focusing on right now is the client. That's right. Like I am putting the client before anything else, before my own schedule. Responsiveness is a very important thing that I'm learning. I would say that would be the key principle right now that I'm learning is, being responsive and not, losing opportunities. Because if if I get an email from a client and I don't respond, even just within the next day, that tells them that I don't care about them. Wow. And I want to show the people around me that I care.
That's right.
And so that's something
that's a good business practice.
And that's what I'm telling people, like, hey, I am so sorry that I haven't responded. Please forgive me. I know that, and just being real with them, like, I'm learning how to be responsive.
Yep.
And I'm literally like, that's all I'm doing right now. And last year when I was very first building, starting my business, I was so focused on building my brand that I forgot, I didn't prioritize the client. And right now it's literally just like, flipped. Completely flipped.
That's so good though.
Yeah.
That's a good practice.
Yeah.
Because so many people get stuck in how are you going to get perceived?
Yeah.
And same way you were back around 24. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what's this person going to say? Why is this person thinking about me this way? And that's all about your brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're over here saying, I'm good at what I do. My brand's going to speak for itself. I'm Casey.
Yeah.
And people are going to get to know me through my work. And that's exactly what you're doing. And that's a good practice for a lot of people to take it to their own hands.
Yeah.
So anything else to add on the whole business front that you've kind of, if someone's listening right now, what's the one thing that as an entrepreneur that you're still learning or maybe the biggest realization that maybe you could translate to them?
Honestly, the biggest thing that I would say is to be fearless, and to take risks. I mean, you might have heard that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And when I dropped $10,000 on my video equipment, I had no idea where it would take me. And if anyone knows about, quality video equipment right now, like $10,000, it doesn't really buy you that much. I literally have all of my gear in a backpack. I could, travel the world with all of my gear, which is great. Jeez. That's what I optimize it for. But it's taken me to a place where I'm connecting with, business people it's taken me around the world, basically. I'm going to Africa. I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to, possibly Taiwan, Bangladesh, San Francisco. I mean, obviously that's the U.S., but just places around the world. And it's literally all it's taken me is just connecting with the people.
Yeah.
And okay, let me just say this really quick.
Hey, add it in there.
Okay. Here's another thing. Last year, and I do, like, this is not what I planned, but I think it was perfect, is last year, all I focused on was my craft. I did not focus on my business. I focused on my craft. I stayed up late nights researching editing techniques, color grading, everything, and I just freaking went crazy on building my own craft. And a lot of my reel is actually stuff that I did for myself and for free. And that reel is what is getting me the jobs. So a lot of people say, oh, I want to get into video production, and they try to knock on doors, but it's like, no. You got to knock on the door of your own heart, open that up, and start just creating from the ground up and perfecting your craft. And so,
man, we might need to do a separate podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Your 100%. Entrepreneurial side of the business, because that is so good.
Yeah. Thank you.
So many times you hear it, but it's so simple, but yet it gets lost so many times. Be good at what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Focus on what you're good at,
mm-hmm.
and be the best at that before you start putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to be put out on the field when you're not prepared for it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can be great at knocking on doors. You can be great at schmoozing people. But when it comes to putting your foot in your mouth, or you don't want to put your foot in your mouth, but when it comes time to perform, it's your life or death, especially as an entrepreneur. You have one chance. You can't mess it up.
Yeah.
And you did that. You spent time becoming the best at what you do, who you are, your style, what you want people to understand from your messages and your content. You captured that all through study, through hard work, and now it's paying off.
Yeah.
And it's a process that takes time. But we will have to – that side of your story is, I think, is so valuable.
Thank you.
How to actually grow the business, especially in today's day and age where social media and just media in general is prevalent to the marketing strategies of all these companies.
Yeah.
It's really cool to hear from your perspective what it takes to be successful in it. But kind of want to start closing it up. But the one thing that we wanted to – before we even started this podcast is Casey's kind of talked about how he's going through a transition where he went from going from a poverty stricken mindset, a poverty stricken lifestyle, and just going through days of rough living through trash bags to now all of a sudden you're not just coming even. You're starting to see, oh my goodness, what is happening?
Yeah.
Things are happening to the point where I'm not even just getting provision. I'm starting to approach abundance.
Yeah.
So for the people that are listening, for those of you who are listening, that you're kind of going through seasons right now where, you know, maybe you're going from a depressed state to things are starting to fall into place similar to Casey, or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you've been in a high place for a long time. Maybe you've been a manager of a business that you're in. Maybe you're in a great relationship. Things are starting to crumble around you though, and you can start sensing that you're about to lose not just one thing, but a lot of things in your life. Casey, from your vantage point, from what you're living through right now, for anyone who's going through transitional stages of their life, what's kind of the major lessons that you're taking away right now from what you're going through?
Man, I would say honestly, just realizing your state and where you're at and asking for help. Like, I know that sounds super simple and it's not like a grand finale answer, but like I had to be so honest with where I was in the darkest parts of my heart and vocalize that to the people around you. The Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. And in everybody's life, you know, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. And I think that if we were to be continually living in pride where we're not asking for help, God doesn't give us help. You know, he says in Proverbs, he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And it took me great humility to actually grow. And so if you are heartbroken, if you're disappointed, if you feel like there's no hope for, a door opening for you that you've been knocking on for years, or, you know, if you're like me where you had a passion before and you're trying to tap into it and you feel like it's something of the past, trust God and pray about it and, you know, fight for it. Mm-hmm. Because it actually took me, I honestly do think that the time where I, you know, allowed my dream to die was actually kind of beneficial, because every seed has to die before, you know, grows into a tree. And I think if you're at a place where, you know, God's trying to teach you certain principles, kind of like I said earlier, is just a little phrase. I said, I had to learn how to prosper where I was put at a place where I never wanted to work. I think I needed to learn that principle to be able to apply to my passion. I would just say humility, asking for help, and then also realizing like that God has your future. Honestly, trust is the biggest thing. If there's anything that I've learned in this transition right now, where I'm going from, you know, moving from poverty into plenty, I would honestly just have to say, like, it's literally just trusting in God. I had no answers. I had confusion. I had darkness. I had loneliness, all of the above. And I just had to trust God and wait.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It's uncomfortable. Oh my gosh.
It is uncomfortable. Growth is uncomfortable. Accessing your calling is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Becoming the person you were meant to be is uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, the people who embrace that like you did, it's not easy to put your pride at the door and say, oh, shoot, maybe I am not in a good place. Maybe I have dug myself in a hole. No, it takes a lot of guts to get yourself to that place.
Yeah.
You did it. Not a lot of people do. And for those of you listening, if that's you right now, if you're facing that, take a look in the mirror. If you need help with this, there's plenty of podcasts before this. There's plenty of people around you, whatever you need to get yourself in a prostrated position to put your heart on the table. Say, man, I need help. I need this one thing in my life to follow before I completely fall myself.
Yeah.
And what you did is admirable because not a lot of people can embrace it. The fact that, because we've had separate conversations without a microphone.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, from my takeaways, from what is happening right now is all the things that have happened where you see it as a setback or like as feel, to me, that's been the gasoline to where you're at now.
100%.
It's just been the heart change. That's it.
For sure.
It just took a lot of things to finally get your heart in a place where I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And for, man, this is so, I'm not even joking. Every interview I have, it just kind of gets to the same place. It's like, for those of us who believe in Jesus, it's, we put our faith in the right place and our lives start showing it. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do we struggle? Every day.
Yeah.
But every time we close our eyes and open our eyes, there's a new grace. There's a new sense of purpose on our hearts.
Yeah.
Where we have put our faith in the right place and it propels us to be the people we were called to be.
Yeah.
And it's a process, but it's an enjoyable one. It's a lot of growth pains. It's a lot of mistakes, but man, every day you wake up, you see yourself changing.
Yeah.
And that's just so admirable. So if you guys are listening in, you're kind of, that's the biggest takeaway I've taken away personally, is just embrace the uncomfortable situations that we're all in and put your heart at the door. Really be honest and say, am I going to be able to take this? If I put myself in here, can I take myself out?
Yeah.
And usually the answer is no. Usually the answer is no. So
for sure,
I want to start closing up, but anything else that kind of feel in your heart that you want to share, anything else that's kind of standing out, anything about your business, anything about upcoming cool projects, anything like that, that hopefully we'll have a couple more podcasts together that you can kind of talk about different things, but anything to close this up on your end that you just want to make sure gets said.
I just wanted to say to anybody that's been listening this whole time, thank you. Thank you for, you know, listening and supporting Jacob and supporting me. I think that, you know, anybody who is in our generation that is, you know, seeking to make an impact or, you know, seeking to make a difference, that is a good desire.
Yep.
And like, don't ignore that desire. And pursue it, whatever medium it is, whether it's podcasts or video or photography or, you know, just being, you know, just a person that people are attracted to somehow, like just make an impact and don't give up on that. So
that's good, bro.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. That is good stuff. Well, with all that being said, Casey, where can people find you on social media? Where can they get connected to you?
Yeah, go
and throw out your YouTube too. Like, there's, check out his work, but go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Casey Patrick Films.
And that is Casey Patrick Films.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm also on YouTube, Casey Levins, Levins. Right now I'm not posting as much personal content, just because I've been focusing on my business. So I apologize about that, but, connect with me on there if you have any questions. You know, I love having conversation with people who want to pursue their passion. But yeah, I mean, seasons change, and who knows, maybe in a few months I'll be, you know, back into creating a lot of personal content. And I really appreciate you guys listening. Casey Patrick Films on Instagram, and then Casey Levins on YouTube. You can also find me on Facebook, Casey Levins. So.
Okay. All righty. Well, that was that's Casey for you guys. And don't be afraid to reach out to him. Don't be afraid to get connected to him. One of the greatest guys you'll meet. Heart is on the table every time you meet him. Yeah, just a good person to surround yourself with. Just like he was saying earlier, surround yourself with the right people. So there's his social media profiles. For myself, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jacob Nitu, JACOBNITU. And there, connect with me. You guys can also find me on my website, jacobnitu.com. I'd love to hear you guys' feedback. Love to hear what you guys have to offer as far as what you want to, who you want to hear, how you want to hear it. Anything that you think can make this podcast better, love to hear that feedback. But with all that being said, Casey, any last words?
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
All right, my friend. Well, then, that being said, as always, guys, to be the anomaly means to be set apart, means to live your life differently. So today, embrace your differences. Embrace what has been put on your heart, what makes you who you are. Embrace that. Don't let anyone else disparage you of who you are and your DNA. But today, embrace it and be set apart. So as always, set the standard, become the anomaly, and chase greatness. We'll see you later, guys. Peace.